If you're like me, you've always wanted diamond stud earrings, but the price and the fear of losing them has stopped you. Last Valentine's Day, this deal was so hot, it sold out midweek. Earrings for only $79. These earrings are made by Eden Pure's sister company, Lindenwold Fine Jewelers. This offer is only good for this week, and shipping is guaranteed before Mother's Day. Go to diamondxl.com and save $120 with code word GRACEDIAMOND. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show, and a happy Wednesday to all of the listeners out there. Thank you so much for tuning in. It is gorgeous here in New England, and we have tons to get to. Per usual, the news is not slowing down. I think I want to start off today on a little bit of a continued note with the mask mandates. Because yesterday, where we left off previously on the end of the masks, the Biden administration was kind of hemming and hawing over whether or not they were going to fight this Judge Trumpkin's decision to end the mask mandate on public transportation.
Glenn Trumpkin.
We should, yeah, I know that her name is Judge Kathy Kimball Mazel, but I'm going to call her Judge Trumpkin because I haven't read one article yet that doesn't make mention in all caps that she's a Trump-appointed judge.
Everybody's always blaming me for everything.
You just make it too damn easy, Orange Man. You really do. So the mask messaging from the White House has always been mixed at best. That is being very generous. And now is no exception. I mean, when you look back at the history this White House has with masks, you've got Biden sitting on Jimmy Carter's lap, no mask. Biden walking his dog on a beach alone, mask. You've got Kamala Harris. She's with a bunch of people celebrating. She's with Obama, kissing up to Obama, ignoring Joe Biden, no mask. She goes in to kiss her husband, Doug. Douglas, Dougie, guess what? She masks up. So to say these people have not been on the same page doesn't even do it justice. It's been all over the place. The hypocrisy, the nonsensicalness of it, the times they decide to wear one versus not. They tend to always have them off when they're around children and the children have to have them on. So they can't get on the same page. Now, this just throws another wrench into it because they've never had a good grasp. When Judge Kathy Kimball Mazel from Florida, Judge Trumpkin, as she will be known from here on out, she has ruled the CDC overstepped their bounds to make people mask up on public transportation. If you're familiar at this point with the CDC, finding out that they're overstepping their bounds would come as a shock to you. If you've participated in this two-week, two-year Slow the Spread campaign, if you're on your 17th booster shot and looking forward to your 18th, if you didn't hang out with your family at Christmas and didn't say goodbye to your loved ones in the hospital, and if you kind of raised an eyebrow when the CDC was getting involved with the rent moratorium, all of these things would make you realize that, yeah, they do tend to overstep. It's kind of their thing. They enjoy getting involved in every single part of our lives. And so now they've overstepped the bounds as far as telling people to wear masks on airplanes. It's shocking, really. So the masks are done as of now on public transportation. There is a lot of confusion. I read an article today that there's confusion at LaGuardia, JFK. I love the quotes in this, though. And I'm not going to read you the quotes exactly. I'm just going to give you how I would sum them up. There's people they're interviewing who are like, I love to follow the rules, but it's so hard because everywhere is so different. Some airports say one thing, other airports say another. You know, there's people who really do, they get into a situation and they're looking for that signage. Like, do I put it on? Do I take it off? What's the deal here? So people are confused. And here's just like an example why. There's mandatory mask rules at LaGuardia, JFK, the Port Authority said, but not at Newark Liberty International Airport. Despite signs throughout LaGuardia's terminal calling for masks to still be worn, elated flight attendants and pilots have already ditched them Tuesday after several airlines, including United, Delta, and American, relaxed their policies for customers and crew. And once those signs go down, you're really giving up a lot. You know, I don't think they're going to come back. So as we look at this, we have to go to the White House. We have to go to the people who we can ask about what are we going to do. Is Joe Biden, I mean, he's been such a pro-mask kind of guy. Is he going to fight this? Is this a hill he's willing to die on?
Get vaccinated.
And it brings me to a topic that I think kind of opens this up to other issues. The hills that Joe and Jill and Jen, a lot of J's in this administration, Joe and Jill and Jen, the hills that they decide to die on are really what is going to crush them in November. And I would add into that that the hills that Ron DeSantis and people like Ron DeSantis are starting to die on couldn't be more brilliant. And I have to admit when I'm wrong, there's been situations that Ron DeSantis gets involved in where I go, why is he doing that? And after watching all of this stuff unfold and all kind of come together in its own way, whether it be masking or Twitter or libs of TikTok or the parental rights law, you realize that what these politicians decide to fight for tells you so much about them. And more importantly for Ron DeSantis, it tells you a lot about the other side. Because if you decide, hey, I'm going to fight for something super logical, I'm going to fight for the fact that kids K through 3 shouldn't be learning about gender ideology, that might not say too much about you because that's a sane take. You know, like a lot of most Americans, not most people on TikTok, but most Americans would say, yeah, of course, that's fine. But what you do by dying on that hill is you show what the other side is willing to fight for. And they are willing to fight for these ridiculous things, whether it be teaching gender ideology to first graders or whether it be reinstating the mask mandate. They sure know how to pick them. They pick these things and they think it's, in my mind, they're trying to appease their base. I think they're trying to appease this faction of their base. It's just like five people, as Nancy Pelosi would say. But they're unhinged. They're radical moonbats. That's who they want to make happy with all these decisions. But I have to say that they're making a major miscalculation because I think that most Americans are looking at all of this stuff. Forget your politics. But I think they're looking at these Democrats and going, how did we get here? How did we get to the point where Jen Psaki is crying over the fact that she might not be able to teach gender ideology to a first grader, or that a teacher couldn't do that? How did we get to the point where in the Washington Post, there's a headline in the picture, a mask on the ground at the airport, a single mask, Jared. It's on the floor. It's really a beautiful photo. It's you can just feel the devastation. Can I get a little violin, actually? I want to read you this headline from the Post. There are squeals of unbridled delight, which aren't so much a reflection of just how onerous the mask mandate has been, but rather just how childish and selfish so much of the country has been in dealing with it. They're really upset. There's a lot of tears happening. So let's go through some of these tears. Well, first of all, I want to hear what Jen Psaki said yesterday, because we were really getting mixed signals, Jared, about what they were going to do with these masks. So play it in whatever order you like. I want to hear Jen Psaki's comments on the mask mandate being dropped.
On the mask mandate, why is the DOJ not appealing that? And by not, does the administration risk taking away some of your options for the future, especially if there's some new variants?
Well, unless something's happened when we got on the plane, I don't think they've made any announcement at this point in time. So as we've said, agencies are reviewing next steps, including the Department of Justice. Traditionally, following court decision, that can take a couple of days.
All right. So the Biden administration will appeal ruling that lifted COVID mask mandate on travel. And just depending on what time you were tuning in yesterday, you got a bunch of different answers. At one point, this is the RNC. It says, Biden administration at 1, yes, we want masks on planes. Biden himself at 2, no, masks should be optional. Biden administration at 3, yes, we want masks on planes. So let's play Biden. This is Biden yesterday in New Hampshire, asked about the masks. Cut 3.
This is wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being
here. Thank you. You did a great job up here.
Try. You know, this is a lot of economic impact for this city.
I brought some extra workers here.
Yeah.
Mr. President, should people continue to wear masks on planes?
That's up to them.
Are you going to like to appeal the ruling or the ruling that the judge made striking down the mandate?
I haven't spoken to the CDC yet. Thank you.
That's up to them. Where was the Easter Bunny when we needed him? How did that question get through? In fact, when he says that's up to them, he should really just say that's up to the president. That's up to the Easter Bunny. I don't make the rules. You know, I just follow them. I'm just following the guidance of the floppy-eared Easter Bunny. So they're all over the place on this. They don't know where to go. But they do know that they're very upset about Florida, about Ron DeSantis, about the parental rights law. They're upset about Elon Musk. I mean, their priorities are all out of whack. They're putting out reports on inflation, Jared, and they mention gender like 50 times.
Is that inflation with an X or something?
And no, but you know what I will tell you is I don't care what gender you identify with. I mentioned this yesterday. All the genders, all 450 genders, you know what they all can agree on, or we all can agree on, there's inflation. Inflation, I don't care what your gender is. Inflation affects you at the supermarket. It affects you at the gas pump. It affects you when you go to buy clothes. It affects you when you get a subscription renewal and they say, hey, we're charging you more this month. And the more the Democrats focus on nonsense like masks and teaching gender ideology to second graders, and the more they ignore the pain that most people are feeling at the pump and at the kitchen table, as Joe always likes to call it, you know what that's going to translate to? That's going to translate to the more pain they will feel in November come the midterms. 844-500-4242. We will be right back with your calls, and we have a lot of sound to get to. Very excited for today's show. Please call in, weigh in. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
This hour of The Grace Curley Show is brought to you by NASA Disposal. Cleaning and greening Cape Cod and Plymouth one stop at a time. Go to NASADisposal.com.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
We don't make these decisions based on politics or based on the political whims on a plane or even in a poll. But I would note in polls, lengthier data, there are still a lot of people in this country who still want to have masks in place. Either they have immunocompromised relatives, they have kids under 5, whatever it may be. Even on the pure politics, I don't think there's a concrete worry at this point.
I would disagree. I think the masks, based off the reactions, you know what tipped me off was the singing flight attendants. You know, the flight attendant who was going down the aisle, great voice, by the way, telling people to throw away their masks. And everyone was enjoying it. But the Biden administration has decided, I believe, that they're going to fight this. And I can't understand why they think that small group, and I know there are people out there, don't get me wrong, I know there are people who have four or five masks on, who really live for this stuff, who are in the Boston Globe comments screaming about how they're going to wear a mask till the end of time. I even saw people threatening to boycott certain airlines that were lifting the mask mandates. I understand that those people are out there. I just think that Jen Psaki and Joe Biden and these people overestimate how many there are. I think they're the loudest, but I don't necessarily think they make up most of the American electorate. 844-500-4242. Let's go to the callers here. Peggy, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Peggy.
Hi, Grace. Great show, as usual. I don't even know where to start with this because it's mind-twisting. It's sort of like, are they completely insane and don't realize the hypocrisy? Or why can't they just do whatever they want? If they want to wear a mask, nobody is stopping them. It's because they can't control everybody now by making them wear a mask that all these people are losing their minds. They just want to tell you what to do. That's the fact that they can wear one if they want isn't enough. It's not enough. It's never going to be enough. They have to be able to tell you what you have to do, too. And it's absolutely mind-bending to try to figure out their logic, because there really isn't any logic here. None.
Well, Peggy, I think what you just said, and there are so many great points there, but it could be applied to so many things as well, because when you think about it, think about the parental rights law. It's not enough that a parent can teach their kid anything they want. They want these teachers to be able to teach your kid what they want to teach them. It's not enough that they can tweet out any story they want. They want to be able to control what stories you're allowed to tweet out. And you're right. It does come back to control. And I think that this masks on planes is a real way, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. I know people don't go on planes. Most people don't go on planes every single day. But every once in a while, every couple months, you get to the airport and you remember that you are just one of many sheep. You are here to follow directions, even if they don't make sense, even if you disagree with them, even if you think it's stupid. You are here to follow orders. And it's a little refresher for everyone. If you get too comfortable, if you feel too free, they're here to remind you to bend the knee so that you don't forget how to do it in 2 years when this whole thing rolls around again. And it's a great conversation to have as far as this battle at Twitter as well, because Ben Weingarten, we had him on the show this week. He has a piece out now in The Federalist. Elon Musk's battle for Twitter is a proxy war for Americans against the ruling class. And it goes into what Peggy is saying. It's intolerable to these Democrats, to the far left, that anyone should be able to say anything they want. If they lose the narrative, they lose the control. And they cannot bear to lose the control. And I think what we're also seeing is the fear of, if we do lose the control, which seems like it's bound to happen in November, what happens when all of these investigations are pointing towards us? You know, what happens when COVID's investigated? What happens when January 6th is investigated? Because right now, all these things are being investigated, but they're investigated from the Democrat stance. Whereas I think, you know, Jim Jordan, Tom Cotton, some of these other people, Rand Paul, they might have some other questions. 844-500-4242. We're going to talk a lot more about this, and we're also going to talk about Tucker Carlson's incredible hit yesterday on the Libs of TikTok account and Taylor Lorenz from the Washington Post. Weigh in, call in. It's 844-500-4242.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We will continue to take your calls. The number is 844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. There's a big story today about Netflix. And Elon Musk actually chimed in because he's like the new Trump. You know, he has something to say about everything. Elon Musk blames Netflix's failing fortunes on the woke mind virus that has made it unwatchable. Elon Musk blamed the woke mind virus for making Netflix unwatchable after it lost 200,000 subscribers and shares dipped 25%. The streaming giant looks at cheaper ad-supported version to boost customer base. And for everyone out there who has Netflix, this is the part you're going to care about. They're thinking about getting rid of the password sharing, which would be, I don't want to be dramatic here, but it would be devastating for me. It truly would be, I don't think that I would get it on my own. I've been on. Yeah, I didn't know that I was even going to admit this, but yeah, I've been on a sharing basis with Netflix for my entire life. I think my parents have Netflix and we're all on there like leeches. Every profile is one of the Curly kids. And to think about why is Taylor nodding? You're a leech too? Come on, come up to the microphone. You don't get to just nod it away, sir. This is Leeches Anonymous, except for it's on the radio, so everyone's going to hear about it. Taylor, how do you get your Netflix, sir?
My in-laws.
Your in-laws.
We canceled our Netflix.
out of
basically a virtue signaling. But then there was some stuff on Netflix I wanted to see, so I stole their back.
You canceled it out of virtue signaling, and then you mooched to get it back.
But in fairness, they mooch off of me because I've got the HBO Max subscription, so I share that with them. So
that's good.
It's, you know, it's a co-mooching.
See, I'm the worst because I am not contributing to anything. I'm just mooching off of various platforms. And I will say this, though, because, see, for me, it's my parents who have it, so I don't feel bad. But one time, Will, my husband, was on it, and he was on, I think, my mom's profile. And he was watching the race car driving. I don't know what it's called.
Grand Prix?
Yeah, Grand Prix or something like that. It's like some sort of reality show. They watch all the race car drivers. And it was coming up on my mom's that she couldn't get in because someone was watching this. So she texted into the family group chat and said, who is watching, you know, whatever it was. And when I tell you, my husband almost died of embarrassment. He was like, logging off. I'm never going to go on that again. Because he felt like the biggest mooch.
It's bad when somebody is in your profile watching something that you would never watch because that throws off your entire algorithm.
Yeah, and also if you go to watch something and someone's a couple ahead of you and then you see a spoiler or something. You're like, wait, I wasn't on episode 8. Yeah, it's interesting because I think everyone is kind of moochy vibes when it comes to these streaming services. But if Netflix has to crack down, they run a risk because they could say, okay, listen, no more password sharing. But then someone like Taylor might say, all right, well, then I'm really just going to cut it loose.
Yeah, there just might be a documentary or two that I really enjoy watching. They used to have a lot of classic movies on there that you could see.
But yeah.
They got rid of most of them. Right now, I'm in the middle of Apocalypse Now, which I've never seen before.
Oh, I've seen that. That's dark.
That's one of those movies that, you know, you have to see during your lifetime, so they say. So, you know, they offer some things like that, but it's few and far between.
So if they get rid of the sharing, you're just going to have to knock on your in-laws' door. Move over.
I don't knock anymore.
You just come in. Hey, everybody off the couch. Apocalypse Now.
Everybody loves Raymond situation.
844-500-4242. Thank you for sharing. Jared, do you have anything you want to get off your chest?
No, I actually pay for Netflix.
Oh, Mr. Not, Big Shot.
I'm not some mooching scumbag. I'm just
saying. Wow. Okay. You don't have to brag about it. Damn.
Uh-oh.
You may not be a mooching scumbag, but you're a sucker for paying.
Yes.
I'm also a scumbag. I just don't mooch.
You know what? Taylor's taking back the mooching name. We're taking back the narrative on this. So Netflix is looking to cut some of this. I don't know if they're going to try to end the sharing or what they're going to try to do to make up for this, but we shall see. Elon Musk, though, weighed in. And speaking of Elon Musk, Ron DeSantis is... Oh, I'm sorry.
You got to do the poll question. That's how we got onto this.
This is classic. I just go everywhere. All right. The poll question is what, Jared?
Will you cancel your Netflix account? Yes, no, or I already have.
See, I'm like Taylor. I don't have a Netflix account. I'm on someone else's. So I should call my mom and ask her, and then I could vote. But if I did have my own, I would say no.
22% say no, 16% say yes, and 62% say I already have.
Wow. All right. Well, we have someone on here who wants to talk about Twitter, and Elon Musk was weighing in on Netflix, but Ron DeSantis was weighing in on Twitter. And he actually, I don't know if people saw this, because there wasn't a lot of video circulating, but I thought it was an interesting story. DeSantis considers plan to hold Twitter board accountable after poison pill to prevent Elon Musk takeover. So this story is having another layer to it, where the Florida governor is announcing that lawyers for the state are currently looking to see how they can hold the Twitter board of directors accountable for breaching their fiduciary duty. Let's play cut 30 and we'll have the callers react.
The state of Florida and our pension system, we have shares of Twitter. I didn't buy it. We have people that run the fund. But nevertheless, it hasn't exactly been great in returns on investment. It's been pretty stagnant for many, many years. But nevertheless, I mean, to me, I think that that's probably an injury to the fund. So we're going to be looking at ways that the state of Florida potentially can be holding these Twitter board of directors accountable for breaching their fiduciary duties.
See, now this is a brilliant move, because if you've been following some of the things that have been happening on Twitter with censorship, Ron DeSantis is tied into a lot of it. And a perfect example is Libs of TikTok. Libs of TikTok just got doxxed by Taylor Lorenz from the Washington Post. And Libs of TikTok, all they do is post videos of teachers who are promoting inappropriate and alarming material that they teach to children. The kind of material that Ron DeSantis, see how it's all coming back around here, the same kind of material that Ron DeSantis is trying to ban in between the ages of K through 3. So he knows that if an Elon Musk takes over, that this kind of witch hunt to ruin anyone who dares bring up the fact that this stuff is really happening in schools might end. And so, again, Ron DeSantis picking smart battles. Greg, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, Grace. Fellow mooching scumbag here. I just wanted to touch base on if Elon were to buy Twitter, I think a main push against it is, like you said, they don't want him coming in and seeing, you know, how everything is, how, you know, how the sausage is cooked, what censorship look like, what goes through, what gets taken down, because he'd obviously go in and scrap all that. And I think it would just be, as a Twitter user, it would be a beautiful cleanse for the app, which I once loved, but now I just feel like is so pinpointing on certain issues. And I just wish that YouTube, another thing I'm a massive fan of, its market cap is way too big and it's way too expensive to buy for anybody. But another thing, if somebody could go in there and buy and just really see how is this set up by these, you know, Silicon Valley billionaires, and how do they work it so that everything they want to get pushed through or taken down is right away. I think it would be like an unbelievable documentary in 20 years to see how these operations are ran right now.
Yeah, Greg, excellent, excellent points. I really appreciate the call. And every day we find out the different accounts are being taken down. You know what just got taken down? This also plays into this, is Tucker Carlson had an interview with a woman who was detransitioning, and she was talking about all of the painful after effects of being kind of pushed, or I don't want to say forced, but heavily encouraged to transition. And the mental trauma, the physical trauma that comes with that, and that was taken off of YouTube. That was taken down. And so all of this is important because it's the stuff that they don't want you to see. Let's go back, though. Let's go back here to this parental rights law. We were told, what were we told over and over again, Jared, about the parental rights law? Or as they dubbed it, the Don't Say Gay Bill.
That it is targeting LGBTQ communities.
And more
and children.
And more importantly, it's unnecessary. It's not happening. There's no reason for it. Libs of TikTok posts videos, doesn't editorialize, just takes videos, posts them that show that, no, this is happening in a lot of schools. And now you have the Washington Post, owned by a good billionaire, Jeff Bezos, not one of those evil supervillain billionaires like Elon Musk. And he has Taylor Lorenz looking to dox the anonymous Twitter person who reposts these already public videos on Twitter. And they're trying to defend this as like it's some sort of heroic journalism. Now, Tucker Carlson looked into this last night. And when we come back, I'm going to play you what he discovered, because this stuff goes so deep. The rot and the corruption goes so deep. And I think a perfect way to sum it up is just to read you a tiny bit from Ben Weingarten. We'll keep taking your calls, and then we'll go into the libs of TikTok thing on the other side. But it all ties in. It really does. It all ties in because it's all things that the left does not want people to have access to. It's things they do not want you to be able to see with your own eyes. And that way they can say, oh, that's not happening. Critical race theory, that's not happening. That's a right-wing talking point. Gender ideology, that's not happening. But people see it's happening. So now what they have to do is they have to shut down access to any sort of content that highlights how insane the far left has become. Here's a couple of lines from Ben Weingarten's latest that I really enjoyed. Of course, our elites self-evidently believe that to retain power, they must dominate the digital public square. That's what our last caller was just referring to, YouTube, Twitter. A monopoly on the narrative is integral to a monopoly on power. That Musk threatens to return that power to us, or as that last caller said, to cleanse it out, to cleanse Twitter, to bring it back to what it used to be, is intolerable to them. Their aversion to Musk's bid is rooted in a regressive ideology demanding censorship and suppression aimed at achieving power. What hysterical Twitter employees and the fearmongers at Jeff Bezos' Washington Post and melodramatics like Max Boot apparently find most objectionable are the liberal grounds on which Musk claims to have made his offer. He's a free speecher, after all. Hence its opposition to Musk, who threatens to break the ruling class's stranglehold on the communications platforms it controls. In so doing, the ruling class exposes their rot and corruption, showing the lengths to which they will go to destroy Musk. It was reported that the feds were probing Musk soon after he disclosed his Twitter offer, which only further contributes to the third world vibes. It is a shame the depths our republic has plumbed. It is a shame that we no longer have a elite in America dedicated to protecting and preserving the foundational principles that have enabled themselves and the country to thrive. By the mere act of seeking to effectuate change at Twitter, Musk, like Trump before him, has elicited a deranged response, exposing the hypocrisy, fraudulence, and fragility of our supposed democracy defending keepers of the liberal rule-based international order in our ruling class to our benefit. So he, just by trying to effect this change, he has exposed this rot. And that is a significant contribution. We'll be right back with more of your calls and sound from Tucker from last night. He had a really great show. And I want to share with you some investigating that he was doing last night. To the incredible demand, Eden Pure is extending the Diamond Excel special until Sunday, April 24th. If you have not seen these diamonds, I actually wore them last night on Newsmax. I had a Newsmax hit and I put on my Diamond Excel earrings. And so I'll tweet that out so you can kind of see them in person. If you're like me, you've always wanted diamond stud earrings, but the price and the fear of losing them has stopped you. I can't even imagine how terrifying I would feel if I was going out with diamond studs, real diamond studs. Because if you lose one of those, your night, your week, your month, you're ruined. So last Valentine's Day, this deal was hot and it sold out midweek. So don't hesitate. You can get a 1-carat stunning diamond alternative pair of earrings for only $79. That's right. Each 1-carat, making it a total of 2 for only $79. The quality is amazing. A regular diamond has 58 facets, but the Diamond Excel earrings have 106. This gives you more sparkle, more brilliance, and more beauty than a genuine diamond. I wear them all the time. Like I said, I wore them last night. And they're made by Eden Pure sister company Lindenwold Fine Jewelers. You have a choice between silver or gold vermeil. They come in a beautiful black gift box. They're perfect for Mother's Day. Mom's going to be so excited if you get this for her. And this offer is only good for this week. Shipping is guaranteed before Mother's Day. Go to Diamond Excel, it's EXCEL.com, and save $120 with code word Grace Diamond. Shipping is free. That's DiamondExcel.com, code Grace Diamond. We'll be right back with your calls. It's 844-500-4242. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley is pure Americana.
I'm so off the cuff. I'm so unpredictable. And I have a leather bomber jacket. I'll take your question anyway, kid. An American
girl. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. The number is 844-500-4242. So Jen Psaki was asked about the mask mandates yesterday, and she's been asked about the Border Patrol agents who were cleared of any criminal charges in regards to the whipping incident at the border. So she's been asked about a lot, but not a lot of it has brought her to tears. When she was asked about the parental rights law that is happening in Florida, thanks to Governor Ron DeSantis not wanting children ages grades K through three to be taught about gender ideology, she broke down in tears. Let's take a listen.
The political games and harsh and cruel attempts at laws or laws that we're seeing in some states like Florida, that is not a reflection of the country moving to oppose LGBTQ plus communities. That is not what we see in data. That is not factual. And that is not where things stand. This is a political wedge issue and an attempt to win a culture war. And they're doing that in a way that is harsh and cruel to a community of kids, especially. I'm going to get emotional about this issue because it's horrible. But you know, it's like kids who are bullied, and like all these leaders are taking steps to hurt them and hurt their lives and hurt their families. And you look at some of these laws in these states, and it is going after parents who are in loving relationships who have kids.
All right. Take it easy. Are crocodile tears contagious? Did she watch the Taylor Lorenz cut from MSNBC and she contracted some crocodile tears? Here's the text. Okay, Jen, you should do a little bit of the reading here before you break down. The legislative text of the House version of the bill reads, classroom instruction by school personnel or third parties on sexual orientation or gender identity may not occur in kindergarten through grade three or in a manner that is not age appropriate or developmentally appropriate for students in accordance with state standards. That is not something you should be sobbing over.
It's completely outrageous.
Now, I could give my rebuttal to this, which I kind of just did, but I could get more angry, but I'm not going to. I'm going to let Kaylee McEnany handle this. She had a great response. This is Cut 8.
In gender ideology at kindergarten. I mean, when my daughter goes to school, I don't want her learning about those things, coming home and teaching, being taught things that I then have to explain to her. And of all the issues to cry and get upset about, Sean, there's a war in Ukraine. There is bloodshed in our streets, children literally dying on the streets from crime that is totally out of control and rampant. There is COVID, where more Americans have died on Joe Biden's watch than on President Trump's. There is a lot to cry about. Namely, if you want to cry about one issue in this country right now, I think the press secretary should cry about the 62 million children that do not exist, that have been aborted because of Roe v. Wade, a heinous, heinous decision in this country that has exterminated about one-fifth of the United States population. So if you want to cry, don't cry about forcing sexuality on kindergartners. That is sick. Cry about the 62 million children who can't even go to kindergarten.
Mic drop on that. Remember the good old days, Kaylee McEnany? That was an excellent response. All right, when we get back, we're talking Taylor Lorenz, Tucker Carlson, and also Black Lives Matter. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.